It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. An NBA player announces he's gay. Sidney Crosby comes back with a full face shield and doesn't miss a beat. And the Pittsburgh Marathon is run less than 3 weeks after Boston. It's time to check in, as we do each week at this time, with our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Good, good. You just heard our segment with sports writer and Pitt graduate Tony Giovanetti, who was inspired to come out in an essay for the website OutSports. What were your thoughts about what you heard?
I think it really improves the conversation. I think it gets people talking about it, focused on it, gets some thoughts out there. It's almost a liberating experience, if you will, from if I heard Tony correctly. You know, the classic philosophy is to thy own self be true. You have to be true to yourself in all things. It seems to me that the people who have come out and talked about it find it a very positive thing, no matter how difficult it is. So congratulations to them.
Will Jason Collins inspire current athletes in any of the four major North American sports to come out as well? And are the four major sports ready for athletes to be open about being gay?
I wish I knew the answer to whether it will inspire more people to do it, but, you know, I think we both know that this was inevitable. Gay athletes have been around for a long time. It's a question of whether you come out or not. Does it change the dynamics in the locker room? Yes, to an extent, but, you know, these things are microcosms of American society. They know, if someone's sexuality. So it's not something groundbreaking or new. It's just a question of whether it's open or not. Does it change things? Oh, boy, I sure hope so, because you got to get to the point where if we're the society that's accepting of everything and tolerant, then we have to live by our own ideals.
Did you, like Tony, think that the first openly gay athlete would be someone from a sport other than basketball?
I wasn't sure. It's like I'd been reading things. Some people have said, well, it would probably be baseball. Not that it really mattered whether it would be, a macho game like the NFL, and certainly hockey has its own macho thing to it, but I think it was just the way it happened. So whether we expected it or not, it's beside the point. It's just the way it played out. I mean, we've known about Billie Jean King for how many decades? This rock keeps spinning around the sun.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you've, as a sports writer, spent your share of time in locker rooms that can be a pretty surly place and not always the most accepting place. Have you noticed maybe just a change in the room over the years for whatever reason, just be going along with those societal changes?
Yeah, actually I have. I mean, the today's athlete is a different person from, the old school people 20, 30, 40 years ago. Attitudes have changed. Perspectives have changed. I heard Tony talk about this, and you and I have talked about it, the NHL program, where just about a player from every team has spoken out on this. It doesn't matter to them. It's whether you're a good teammate, whether you can do your job, whether you have the skill and talent to help a team win. That's what's important to these people, not private issues or sexuality. I just don't think it makes that much difference to them.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, joined by our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. On to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Sidney Crosby made his return to the Penguins lineup after being out for a month with a broken jaw. He wore a full face shield, something hockey players are required to do in high school and college, but not at the professional level, certainly not in the NHL. Some pundits thought that the face shield might hinder Crosby's performance. Would you say it hindered Crosby's performance, Bob?
I don't think it hindered him at all, but he would be the better person to answer that. There might be a time or two, there's a split second, where he can't see the puck at his feet, but he sure did seem to pick up exactly where he left off, which is incredible, because you miss a month, and that's the regular season, and you get thrown into the crucible of the playoffs, where it's so much more intense, games so much faster. To see him do what he's done is, I think, remarkable, but just underscores how remarkable this person has been in Pittsburgh. I mean, the Penguins are so blessed to have him.
There was a time when the idea of a hockey player wearing a helmet or a goalie wearing a mask, for that matter, was unthinkable. Now everyone is required to at least wear a helmet. So do you think Crosby's success with a full face shield might lead the NHL to consider requiring players to wear them to prevent the kind of devastating injury that he suffered?
Yeah, it's a good question. I remember when helmets first became in vogue in the 70s, and opposing teams would just punish anybody that wore a helmet as if that broke some kind of macho code. You mentioned the goalies and their mask and how that took time. Now you look at them, and, you know, they're looking like they're gladiators with the shields and everything. Whether they require, you know, the league gets around to requiring this or not, I don't know. I think the Players Association would have a lot to do with that. You know, anything that benefits player safety and improves the overall game, you know, I don't see any resistance to on an administrative level, but players certainly have their own personal preferences. Anybody that's not wearing a full cage or a face mask right now would have the option of being grandfathered in. As you remember, like Craig McTavish of the Oilers was playing without a helmet into the 80s and maybe even the 90s.
Yeah, 94 he was with the Rangers when they won the Cup.
Exactly. See, so, you know, it's an individual choice, but is there any question that having players wear helmets have made the game safer? There isn't any. It's a safer game.
Nevertheless, NBC commentator Mike Milbury, the former Bruins player and coach, made some disparaging remarks about Crosby yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you know, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. And these Mike Milbury and Jeremy Roenick, they're the pots, just like Don Cherry up in Canada. So I don't pay much attention to that, except that, you know, I'm a little surprised it, guys who have access to grind are in these jobs as analysts. I mean, Milbury last year had to apologize for calling Crosby a punk on a radio station in Philadelphia. We know where he's coming from. His history with the Penguins goes back to Badger Bob Johnson when he was accusing Badger Bob, of all people, of running a goon outfit. So, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. Doesn't change anything. And you know, if you're going to get upset about what somebody says or react to a reaction, you lose your focus on the game. Let's stick to the hockey.
In our last 30 seconds, Bob, the Pittsburgh Marathon was run yesterday, less than 3 weeks after the Boston Marathon bombings. What thoughts and impressions did you come away with?
I'm glad they were able to pull it off without incident. I mean, I think we noticed increased security in some of the fencing, the cyclone fencing, and with the bomb-sniffing dogs. And with people in uniform, National Guard patrolling, I think that we're just going to have to get used to that as a society. There's going to be more security to prevent things at the loss of some privacy.
Bob Dvorak is sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Check out his video blog, Sportsnet. Thank you, Bob.
Hey, great show, Paul. Thank you.
And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. We welcome your comments and story ideas at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheimer.